सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सहवीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः हरिः ॐ श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ॐ So last time we saw verse 17. Just a quick recap. Yona Rashati na Dveshti, I told you that is extreme joy and extreme hatred. And we have talked about Adveshta, that try not to hate anybody. If you really don't like any person, try to be indifferent. It is better to be indifferent than to hate. There is no grief. Of course, if we talk about the devotee, then the devotee's mind is always in the Lord, and therefore he doesn't get extreme. He doesn't rejoice. There is no extreme sinner's life because all of it is being given to the Lord. So when joy comes, he says, okay, it's my Lord that's giving me. And na shochati, grief, any kind of sorrow, he says, this is my Lord has given this to me. So I accept. And okay, if you have given it to me, then I know you're going to take it away or take care of it. And no desires. His mind is, desire is at the level of the mind. When the mind is completely reveling in the Lord, what kind of desire can arise in his mind? He's fulfilled. This is the description of a jnani bhakta that we are seeing. I told you it is not artha, artharthi or jidnyasu. There are the four kinds of devotees that Bhagwan talked about in chapter 7. This is referring, these characteristics are referring to the jnani bhakta. So it's jnanottara bhakti it is called. The fulfillment of knowledge is bhakti and the fulfillment of bhakti is knowledge. And that's why at the top, they are one and the same. Though in the beginning, they appear to be very different. They think bhakti is in duality and knowledge is in the oneness. They seem very different, the paths, but the end result is exactly the same. Shubha Ashubha Parityagi. So I told you, he's beyond auspicious and inauspicious. And I'll tell you a story. It's not a story, it's a real story, which will give you an idea of what this auspicious and inauspicious means. Actually we are into, we think marriages in India, right? There's a Murta. I actually got a very funny message on WhatsApp because of the virus. They said, all the weddings in India are canceled. Everywhere they cancel, right? So the message read, what happened to all these good Murtas on which these marriages were to happen? What happened to the Murta? It was a good Murta. Virus has cleaned it all. Anyway, the story was told to us by Swami Mitrananda. And Swami Mitrananda, he was invited to a school in, I think it is Ranchi. So in Ranchi, we have a Chinmay Vidyalaya. We have over 70, 80 Chinmay Vidyalayas all over India. Ranchi is one of them. It was the 25th anniversary and he was invited for that function. So when he went there, the principal of the school he was speaking, his opening address or whatever. And he said, I want to tell all of you what happened during the opening of this school. So that's 25 years ago. So 25 years ago, on the day of the opening, Gurudev was supposed to come and do the opening. And the priest, we always have a priest doing the horoscope of the school. So he had told, I think the principal was a young teacher at that time, 25 years ago. He's now the principal. So the priest had told the school that you must do the opening before 2 o'clock. Between 10 and 2 is the auspicious time. After 2, Rahu is going to enter the house of the school. That house means that chart, the school's chart, and then that's not a good thing to do. Fine. Gurudev was supposed to arrive by flight. It was within that time. Nobody was worried, except the flight got delayed. And by the time Gurudev arrived, it was past 2 o'clock. And the principal at that time, or whoever, they got worried. They said, Gurudev, this is what the priest has told us. It's past 2 o'clock. Now Rahu has entered. And Gurudev said, where I am, Rahu cannot enter. He said, we are doing the opening. And then the principal said, we did the opening. 25 years later, we are flourishing. Shubha, Ashubha, Parityagi. One who has risen above it. So the devotee who is in with the Lord, he is beyond the pairs of opposites. He's beyond the planets. He's beyond these grahas and everything because he is now above them. That is what Parityagi means. He renounces them means he rises above them so they cannot now affect him. There is no effect of those. That's what we believe. You know, this now even for the virus, they're saying Rahu has entered and Ketu has entered and God knows all what. And now they leave and then the virus will go as well. But for a devotee or for a realized master, these things don't work. So for us also, Shubha, we, not that we should do, you know, something at some odd hours, but not paying that much importance. Okay, bhakti manyaha, bhakti man. We have heard the word bhagavan, balavan, shaktivan. Van means possessor. So bhakti manya is one who is bhakti man. Then he be, so one who has bhakti is called a bhakti manyaha. That's the word bhakti manya. He's full of devotion. That's right. And same priya, saha me priya. He's very, very dear to me. Okay. And I told you the connotation of what does it mean? How do I know that I'm dear to the Lord? Is look at the peace of your own mind. If your mind is at peace, he loves you. If your mind is in pieces, then there is a question. The next two verses, they go together, 18 and 19, and they talk about samatha. If we were to capture the essence of the entire Bhagavad Gita in one word, it would be samatha. And the reason that I say that is if we start from the beginning in chapter one, it was mamata. Whose mamata? Arjun's mamata. There is my grandfather, my guru, my brothers, my this, that and everything. And I can't kill them. That is attachment, delusory attachment. And he was in tears. And that's what mamata will do to us also. Attachment will bring grief. And then in chapter two, Bhagwan starts his discourse. And there he starts off with verse 42, sukha dukhe same krutva labha labhav jaya jayo. The word sama comes first time in chapter 2 in that verse. And from then on, this thread is never left off. So there Arjun is instructed to make sukha dukha, sorrow, joy and sorrow, jaya ajaya, so victory and defeat and honor and dishonor, same. Then when he moves into after verse 47, Karmani Vadhika Raste, he says, Yoga Karmasu Kaushalam. That's where he says. So karma, so definition of karma Bhagwan gives. What is yoga? What is karma yoga? There yoga means karma yoga. It's kaushalam, kushalata. And kushalata means efficiency and proficiency. I told you, daksha also means proficiency and there are two words, proficient and efficient. Proficient is when you are good at your own work, at your own whatever job or whatever field of work that you're doing. And efficient is the capability, the capacity to change immediately and become proficient in the other one. So there's efficiency and there's proficiency. Both of them mean daksha and both of them mean kushala. So Bhagwan says the kushalta, the kaushalya in karma is to not only do your own karma with the correct attitude, if you're doing it, then it becomes yoga. And you must be able to change with the changing circumstances. You must be able to change as well. Then that becomes yoga. And then he follows the following verses. Samatvam yoga uchate. Samatvam, again, samatha is coming. So he says the yoga there is said, uchate is, it is said that samatvam is the yoga. That is what is required in karma. When we studied karma yoga in chapter 3, I told you samatvam is one of the insignias of karma yoga. There should be samatva, equanimity in the action while doing the action as well as when the result comes. Both have to be accepted with grace and then that is samatva. So there is then chapter 2 where we see samatha. Chapter 3 again samatha because karma yoga, principles of karma yoga are given in chapter 3 and samatvam is again one of the requirements in karma yoga as well. Going on to Dhyana Yoga, meditation, chapter 6, Samatvam in the mind. Unless the mind is equanimous, meditation is not going to be possible. Why? Because the mind is constantly up and down. It is agitated. So when you practice this samatha, first, chapter 2, Sukadukhe Samikrutva, when you start practicing there, then you bring it into your all your actions, not just one or two, your all full actions of the entire day and the acceptance of the results, then you will gain samatha in the seat of meditation. Okay, so samatvam. Then in chapter 9, Bhagavan says, Nirdosham hi samam brahma. Again, he brings samatha in there. He says, Brahma, this Brahman is nirdosha. It's faultless. Because, you know, that's what we say when we get sorrow. Well, God gave me this sorrow. That is the first thing that comes out of our mouth. Why me? And God has given this to me. So he says, nirdosha. Brahman is nirdosha. It's faultless. Why? Because why did that sorrow come to me? Because of my own actions, that sorrow has come to me. Brahman has done nothing. So nirdosham, he is samam Brahma. So Brahman is sama, equanimous. If I want to be like Brahman, I must practice equanimity. As you think, so shall you become. So if we want to imitate, that's why even hypocritically start imitating Brahman. And then slowly, slowly, you'll get into it. So chapter 9, again, it comes. And now again, he is talking of the same thing. So samatha. So samatha becomes extremely important. It is the only antidote for mamata. Mamata and samatha, only one word different. Ma and sa. Mata is same. So mamata, to get out of mamata, samatha is extremely essential. And we do these two verses together, 18 and 19. Sama shatrau cha mitre cha tatha mana apamana yoho shitoshna sukha dukkheshu samasanga vivarjitaha tulya nindastu tirmauni santushto yena kena chita aniketa sthiramatihi bhakti manme priyo naraha. He who is the same to foe and friend, and also in honor and dishonor, who is the same in cold and heat, and in pleasure and pain, who is free from attachment, to whom censure and praise are equal, who is silent, content with anything, homeless, steady-minded, full of devotion, that man is dear to me. So let's start. This is all pairs of opposites. Sama shatra mitra, friend and foe. Man apaman, honor, dishonor, cold, hot, shital, ushna, sukha, dukha, sorrow, joy, joy and sorrow. Then sangha vivarjita is, it's the sadhana, so it's free of attachment. Tulya, ninda, criticism and stuti, praise. Mauni is silence, we'll talk about that. Santushta we have talked about, but we'll talk a little bit about that. Aniketaha, homeless, don't worry, you don't have to leave home. I'm not going to say that. Sthiramatihi, steady mind. Bhakti manme priyonara. So shatru and mitra, friend and foe, we even in Bhajagovindam, we just read the verse yesterday. So Bhagavan says, don't do this vigraha sandho. Don't name anybody as friend and enemy. Friend and enemy as at the level of the mind. Okay. For a devotee whose mind is only rebelling in the Lord, there cannot be any friend or foe. And also besides, because no matter what he looks at, it is his Ishta Devata that he sees. So there's no way there can be friend and there can be an enemy. Earlier verse also we saw Maitra Karuna Evacha. Bhagavan said, the one who is friendly to all, don't name anybody as a friend. If you name somebody as a friend, there will be somebody who is not your friend. And then that is becoming an enemy. Rather than that, you be friendly to all. And this samatha, shatru and samatha in all the pairs of opposites, the way this samatha will come is only by going to the substratum. That is the only way. Because there is only one substratum for that friend and enemy. And friend and enemy substratum is the pure consciousness only for that body. Okay? So if your attention is drawn, or if you take your attention to the substratum, thinking, I'm calling this person enemy. Who is this person really? Really, who is? Is he that body that I see, or is he something else? if I think in those terms, then the friend and the enemy will become one, somehow, in my mind. Of course, if there is somebody who is coming to hurt you, you do protect yourself. That is not, that's not the idea. But in your mind, if we want to evolve spiritually, if we want to be dear to the Lord, because that's what the Lord is saying, this such a person is dear to me. Sama shatrau cha mitre cha. Another way of looking at this is a friend is, we can say, is a person of a like-minded. You know, satsang, we say satsang. We do satsang with people. Company of like-minded people. He will take us towards the Lord, or he will take us for a satsang, or he will take us to a guru. So we are very happy with the friend. Okay. Enemy, look at the enemy like this. That enemy, who is Shatanat Shatru? Shatanat Shatru is the break of that word. Means one who persecutes me. Now, if that person, whoever person persecutes me, and because of that, I turn to the Lord, you thank the enemy. Thank you, because of me, you persecuted me. I am now turning. I have, you know, I was like last year, I was kind of disturbed with somebody. I started japa because of that. I was not doing japa. Then I said, you know, I need to quieten my mind because calmness of mind is my goal, right? I shouldn't be getting into all this. I started japa. So think of anybody who persecutes you or troubles you. And because of that, of course, because of that, you cannot go into drugs and liquor and all that. But if you're going towards the Lord, if you increase your prayers, if you increase your japa, if you increase your meditation, you thank him. You say, thank you. You persecuted me. I wouldn't have been reading more books. Now I'm reading more books to keep myself calm, or I'm doing something additional. So that way this samatha can be achieved. Okay. Man and apaman, honor and dishonor. Remember that when you get mana, you become happy. So what is actually exhausting is your punya. When you get how do I make it sama? That's what I'm telling you. Because how do I make it sama? This is how you do it. I got mana. That means some of my punya is gone now. Now apaman you get. Now you have to make it similar. So when you get apaman, remember that your papa is exhausting. Because you got insulted, somebody insulted you, you felt hurt. If you get hurt and if you feel sad and if you are, you know, and hurt is at the level of the ego anyways, but if you do, remember that your papa is getting exhausted. So you say, thank you, you dishonored me. Now so much of my papa is gone. Man and apmana. Man and apman is at the level of the intellect. Okay, one way. So both ways, you remain, the idea is you remain calm. If somebody, not to get too much disturbed that you got man, but not to, you know, rebel in that. You should not carry it forward. Just say thank you and then move on. Mana. Apmana, say thank you. Good. Because of you, my papa reservoir is getting emptied. You can insult me. Then this mana, remember, what is mana? Mana is recognition of our own limitation. You know how it is? It's like if I say I'm a PhD in mathematics, okay? So, you know, that is a limitation. Why is it a limitation? Only mathematics, your PhD. What about physics? What about chemistry? Astrology? That means what I have, and if I take pride, that means I have declared my ignorance in a million other things. I'm taking I'm a billionaire. Billionaire only. Are, that friend is trillionaire. That means I have limited myself. So mana is recognition of my own limitation, and then taking pride in it is even more foolishness. Because then I'm declaring how much ignorant I am. Only one thing you know. There's so many other things are there. So don't. It doesn't mean you don't do your PhD, huh? don't you do everything, but to take pride in it. That's why I told you, you know, my intelligence, you know, I was so into that I did. Are, who taught you that 1, 2, 3, 4 in the beginning in kindergarten? Grade 1, your teacher, right from there, we have to start thanking people. Mother took you by hand and took you to school. That's why that teacher could teach you 1, 2, 3, 4 to 10 and 100 and what. That's why now you've reached this stage of PhD in mathematics. You forget all that and say, man. So that man should not be taken. So remember that. And if mana comes, there are two sides of the same coin. That apman is also going to come. Where is that going to go? They're both traveling side by side. So mana and apmana, this is how you can make it sama. Samata has to be there. Now shita and ushna and sukha and dukha. These are two different pairs. Shita ushna is at the level of the body, cold and heat, hot, and sukha and dukha, joy and sorrow. Joy and sorrow at the level of the mind, heat and cold at the level of the body. Now, heat and cold actually represent the objects in this world. Okay, where is hot and cold felt on the sense, on the skin, right? It's one of our sense organs, skin. And I've told you before also that when one sense organ is mentioned or one sense object is mentioned, it includes all others. So Shita Ushna also includes color and form that the eye see, smells that the nose smells, taste, and hearing sounds. Okay, so Shita Ushna represent all the objects of this world. All the objects are, there are only five objects in the world. Color, form, sound, taste, touch, and then whatever, hearing, right? Five. Shabda, Rupa, Rasa, Gandha, and then five. So there are only five objects in this world, and they are seen or experience perceived through the senses. Now Bhagwan is saying sama shita ushna, make them equal. The way you can make them equal is going to the substratum again. So if you're seeing if you take just this example, hot and cold, the substratum of both hot and cold is the skin. So attention should go to the skin, to that organ. So if I say oh, I don't like red but I like green, then you say, okay, red and green, who is supporting both red and green? Who is supporting that which I don't like and that which I like is my eyes. So your attention should be going to the eyes. Now, next point, the eyes by themselves or the skin are not holding on to any color or any sensation. Think about it. If I look at something red, and if the eyes say, oh, I love this red, and now eyes are holding on to red, next thing, the green is not going to be seen because the eyes are holding on to red. Same way, skin, if the skin is holding on to cold, like winter just passed, so holding on to cold and says, oh, I don't like it, not going to be able to experience hot. So the substratum is not holding on to anything. It is summer. Whatever comes in contact with it, it will just, you will be able to perceive it. So cold comes, ice comes in touch with skin, cold. Hot, some hot water, something comes in touch, fire comes in touch, hot. And they'll go on changing. The ice will go on seeing. Tongue is the best. Same tongue will taste all the navrasas. Sweet, sour, bitter, tart, whatever taste is there, salty. Same tongue. So to make these pairs of opposites, these objects sama, attention has to go to the substratum. And the objects of the world, the substratum is only the five sense organs because there are only five objects. Okay, now going further, sukha and dukkha is at the level of the mind. Sukha and dukkha are not objects. Please understand. Okay. They are not objects. They are experiences that happen at the level of the mind. The substratum of both sukha and dukkha is the mind. Attention should go to the mind when anything, any one of these comes and it is agitating. I've told you in Vedanta, agitation means a movement of the mind. It doesn't matter if you're happy and excited, that also is an agitation as per Vedanta. If you're crying and if you're sorrowful, that also is an agitation. There is an agitation in that mind because of both. So the attention should go to the mind. Mind is not holding on to sukha, neither is it holding on to dukkha, neither one experiences is holding on. Therefore, 1 minute we are happy, one day we are happy, next day we are sad, we go up and down. So if I want to keep my mind calm, because if my goal, I told you there's always a big if there, if my goal is to, or in this case, if I want to be dear to the Lord, then he wants a calm mind, he wants it summer. So turn your attention to the mind. Always attention should be turned to the substratum. Okay. So if we take these together from color and form, or from objects, you go to the sense organ. From sense, who is supporting the sense organs is the mind. And who is supporting the mind is the supreme reality. And this is how you must travel inside. So mind, sukha dukha, whatever experiences that are happening in the mind, jealousy, anger, all this is all falling under sukha and dukha. Anger is irritating us, jealousy is there, compassion is there, kindness is there, love is there, all these feelings. Attention to the mind, and who is supporting the mind is the supreme reality. And this is how you can become sama. Okay, so much explanation. Now a little bit deeper, if whoever can follow, if they can't, this is fine. This up to this explanation is, this thing is complete, the verse is complete, explanation. Of course, you can always think of more things. You have to understand that the objects are Indriya Bhasya. Indriya Bhasya means illumined. Abhasya is illumined by the senses. So they're Indriya Bhasya. But the thoughts which are there in the mind, the experiences like Sukha and Dukha are Sakshi Bhasya. They are not illumined by the mind. They are illumined by the Sakshi, which is Chidabhasa, which is the reflection of consciousness in the pool of the mind. So remember that objects, Shita and Ushna, are objects perceived through the senses, and the experiences are perceived at the level of the mind, both of them to be taken back into the substratum. And that is how you can make them sama. For a devotee, there is no question of this, because his mind is always in the supreme reality. Remember, I told you this is a Jnani Bhakta, so he knows his one, even though outside he might, like Hanumanji and Mirabai and all these saints, outside they always, you know, said, oh, that's my Krishna and that's my Rama and that's my this, that, and all. Inside they knew that they are one with the Lord. Please remember that. That's very, very important to remember, that the highest devotee always knows that he is one with the Lord, but outside he wants to maintain that because he's more heart oriented and he wants to save out this, that, etc., etc. And then sama sangha vibharjita. So when we become sama in all these pairs of opposites, we will automatically become sangha vibharjita without sangha attachment. Right? Because right now what is happening is I'm attached to one and I'm not attached to the other. That's why these opposites are given. I'm attached to a friend, I'm not attached to an enemy. I'm attached to green, I'm not attached to red. I'm attached to sukha, I'm not attached to dukkha. I'm attached to cold, maybe some people like cold, some others like hot. So I'm attached to one or the other. When I start becoming sama in all of them, by moving my attention, only attention is to be moved. Vedanta is only a shift in attention. There is nothing else to be done. Physically, there is nothing to be done. Shift, when that attention is shifted, automatically sangha vibharjita will happen. Detachment will happen. Because now you're withdrawing from both. What we have done is one we are holding on to because we like it. And one we want to run away from. We don't want to hold on to it. Okay. Now when we move to the substratum, we will detach from both. That is the idea here. Sangha vibharjita, this last word is sadhana. That is the sadhana for us. Self-effort that we have to put forth if we want to be dear to the Lord. Tulya ninda and stuti. Again, another pair of opposite. Ninda, criticism. Stuti is praise. When we get praise, if we get praise, it gives us ego. It shouldn't give us, it gives us ego, right? Oh, I did so well. I've got a car, house, whatever. And then ninda, I told you before also that they always say that you should have a person criticizing you as your neighbor. Excuse me. So you can improve. So when somebody criticizes you, of course, criticism, it could be, what do they say? There's a word, I forget. for your own improvement. You can take it. Thank you. You told me. I didn't know, you know, and thank you for pointing this out to me. So I will try and improve myself. So this is how you do it. And praise, when you get praise, remember all those people who have helped you to get to that stage of praise. Right? Starting from your own mother, right? Who taught you, then your kindergarten, then all your teachers, et cetera, et cetera. I remember an interview that one of our, you know, host Sushma, her name is, she was doing, and there was this, I don't remember his name, but he was a very accomplished singer. And she was interviewing him on TV. And she was, he had won many awards. You know, he had, in this sabha, that sabha, he had sung and he had won awards. And she, every time she asked him about that award, he would do this and he would reply. You know, he would touch his right ear and he would reply. So after 2-3 times, because he had won many awards. So he said, oh, she, in this year, you won that award. In that year, you won that award. And he'll do this and he'll reply. Yeah, yeah, this happened, that happened. So 2-3 times it happened. Then she asked him. She said, you know, I'm noticing that every time I ask you this question, then you're doing this and you're replying. So why is there some significance or just same action if you're repeating, you know? Then he said, in our parampara, because they also have this Guru Shishya parampara, you know, the dancers, the singers, the classical singers, classical dancers, they also have a great regard for their guru, right? Guru Shishya. He says, when you praise me, I shouldn't get the ego. So this is that I'm remembering my guru and I'm passing that praise to the guru, to my guru, because it is because of him that I have got this whatever medal or whatever that I've got. That, and by doing this, by just tugging at my lobe in my mind, that is my remembrance of my guru. So every time you get a praise, you shift it, because otherwise it is going to give you ego and then you're going to fall. So nothing is going of that other person. It may be a real praise, it could be false praise also. Who knows? There are some people who want to make you happy. They'll say something which they know will please you. So if you remember the Lord, or if you remember your guru, it's my guru's grace. It's because of my guru. It's because of the Lord. It's because of whatever, you know, my teachers taught me, my mother, whoever shifted. The minute you shift, see, the Lord doesn't get ego. Infinity ego doesn't arise in infinity. So you can push all these things to the Lord. What our problem is, you know, we will take the praise. If some criticism comes or sorrow, which gives me so, why me? Why you? Then why not you? If I'm going to praise you and I'm going to criticize you, take both. Either you take both or you bring God in both or Guru. Then the criticism will not hurt you. I remember when somebody had given a Vedantic lecture. I really like that. And sometimes I use it too, this line. At the very end of the lecture, they said, you know, if I have done, what did you say? Yeah. If I whatever I've said you've liked, and whatever if I've said you think it is correct, and it sort of, you know, rung a chord with you, then all that is because of my guru. And if whatever I have said is not correct, or you didn't like it, or there was some fault in it, in my saying, all those faults are mine because my guru is faultless. So this is how she put it. I've never forgotten that. So if there is anything that you like in whatever that I have done, then it is because of my guru. If you don't like something, if you're going to criticize, tell me so that I can improve. That's how you both make it both equal. It should not, anything should not enhance your ego. That is the whole, you know, point in this. Mauni. Mauna is loosely translated, it is silence. And it's also kind of misunderstood word a little bit. Like brahmacharya, you know, brahmacharya, we see only celibacy, but I told you brahmacharya means a control of all the sense organs. Same way this mauna, silence, one thing is silence of the speech, but there is a second thing of silence of the mind. So you can keep quiet maybe at the speech level, but if your mind is just racing here and there, then you're not a mauni. And the mind races in Manoraja, you know, either we are imagining what I'll do tomorrow in the future, or then it is worried about the past. So therefore the mind is constantly, you know, helter skelter, silence. So that has to be silenced. That is a mauni. That is a real mauni. Another aspect of mauna is samyak vak. Samyak means controlled speech. So silence is to know when to speak and when not to speak. And it is more important not to speak than to just go on speaking. Because it's very easy to talk. It's very difficult to keep quiet. Silence. So when to speak, when not to speak. That's one thing. What to speak and what not to speak. It is more important to know what I should not talk, rather than what I, you know, just go on talking. So what to talk, what not to talk. When to talk, when not to talk. How to talk, how not to talk. This distinction, it is not like, you know, oh, I'm in silence. Now something wrong I see, something, I'm in silence. I'm not going to, I'm mauni. Now I'm not going to talk at all. No, when required, you have to speak. You have to speak. But when required, don't speak when it is not required. You see this in our Swamijis. You know, if you go and meet any of our mission Swamis, Guruji and all, they will be quietly sitting. Unless you ask them a pertinent question, if you ask some faltu question, they will look the other way. What you're asking, this is stupid. But if you ask a pertinent question, they will reply, give a pertinent reply. The other thing that they do is they never ask you, because this is my own experience, I go and see Guruji every time I go to India, Swami Tejomananji. He has never asked me about anybody else. He never, or from the mission, I'm not saying that. Robin is there, Mr. and Mrs. Kapahi are there. He never, because you know what happens? When they ask, then it could give rise to you. Oh, here she, or hey, what? She's not doing anything for the mission. Now she's just this thing, da-da-da-da-da-da, I can start. They don't ask. They don't mauni. You ask them a question, they will reply. Or if there is something relevant that they want to know about the mission only, there's nothing else. Or something, family, now he knows my family, so he will ask that. But most, 90% of the time, he does not ask anything. Mauni. Mauna. So, you know, silence is more important. Silence will conserve energy. Talking is dissipating energy. Energy has to be conserved. This path is very difficult. We need all the energy that we can get. Mauni. Santushtaha, contentment. I have talked about this before. And contentment here, there is a little qualification. Yena kena chitta. So contentment, I told you, is a sense of enough. I have enough. I have more than enough. Not like that I have more, but whatever that I have, I'm very happy in it. Whatever I have, I'm happy with it. Yena kena chitta is no matter what comes, things come uncalled to us. And right now we are going through the situation, the virus situation, which is totally unasked for, uncalled for, unexpected. Nobody even knew anything like this exists, etc., etc. And now it has come to us. We need to maintain our calm. Samatha is calmness of mind. What is samatha? Equanimity. What does it mean? In the pairs of opposites, equanimity, what does it mean? It means I'm calm. That's why our medical officer, you know, Dr. Bonnie Henry, she has given what? Stay calm, stay home, stay safe. Stay calm is the first. She's always, her things are coming on TV, you know. Stay calm. That is the first thing she's saying. Yes, there is a virus. We know. Yes, we know what it is doing, what it has already done to the economy, what it has done to the people. But what is everybody panicking? What is it going to help? So, yena kena chitta, no matter what happens, you remain content. That is what will give you that samatha, that equanimity of mind. Aniketa, literally translated homeless, and I think Gurudev has translated as homeless. Homeless. Okay. Homeless doesn't mean you leave your home and go. Don't be attached to the home that you're living in. And home includes all possessions. So when there is attachment to inert objects, It is a tamasic attachment. This will come in chapter 14, three gunas. So attachment arising out of tamas is an attachment to inert objects. And we see that in chapter one in Dhritarashtra. In the case of Dhritarashtra, he was attached to the throne and he was attached to his crown, the kingship he wanted. And that is a tamasic attachment. So when by saying Aniketa, it's not just house, but things in the house. Oh, I'm not attached to the house, but you know, my computer, my TV, my clothes, my shoes. Are baba, are baba. Shoes, you know, so many shoes. So that attachment is what is being told here, Aniketa, homeless. Of course, if you look at our Swamijis, they are Aniketa. They do not have an address. They do not have a bank balance and they don't have anything, right? Aniketa. Of course, as householders, we have all that, but don't get attached. The deeper meaning of this Aniketa is, one is the physical house that I'm living in, but my body also is housing my soul, my Atma. So the body itself is a house. So don't get attached to this body. It is physical matter. Attachment to body is a tamasic attachment. Do not get attached to that. When I'm attached to power and position, which is Duryodhan, Rajasic. And when I'm attached to people, Arjun, sattvic attachment. All our attachments, all will bind. Sattvic attachment binds also. Gurudev says that's a golden chain and that's an iron chain and tamasic is a rusted chain. So all our chains, this Aniketa is give up tamasic attachment. So attachment to the house and attachment to your physical body, body, mind, intellect. Because until you do that, you cannot recognize yourself to be that pure self. Okay, so give up the attachment is what is meant by not leave your home and go somewhere. Sthira matihi, sthira steady, mati buddhi, so mind, intellect, sthira steady. Steady in what? One thing, steady in the goal. Means I should know firm what is my goal. I should know that. Because unless I know what my goal is, I'm not going to be steady in the means. If my goal today, it is this, tomorrow it is that, then today there is this means, tomorrow there is that means, tomorrow there is that means. I should be very firm. We see this firmness in Nachiketas in Kathopinishad, where Lord Yama offers him all these dancing girls and wealth and elephants and horses and this and that and da-da-da-da-da. He says, no, you keep your dancing girls, he tells Lord Yama. So his buddhi, his mati is so sthira, so fixed that this is what I want and that's it. And I do not want anything else. So there has to be steadiness in the goal. And then following that, there has to be steadiness in the means. Sometimes we, yeah, that is my goal. But you know, means I want to lose weight. But oh, I have to get up in the morning and walk every day. No, 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 Baba, I cannot do that. If you're steady in the goal, you will do what is required. So if you want to lose weight and if you have to do exercise, you will get up in the morning and exercise. You will go to the gym. You will walk. You will run. You will do whatever. Whatever is your goal. So that goal, in this case, if our goal is that final peace of mind, I wouldn't even say liberation. If I really want peace of mind, then I have to have a steady mind in the means. And who will tell me the means are the scriptures. And who will explain the scriptures to me is my guru. So that sthiramati has to be in all this. And the goal has to be fixed first. Then the means and all will follow. Because if that is my goal, then that is the means. If that is the means, where do I find these means? In the scriptures. Then who will tell me about the scriptures? Because I can't read Sanskrit. Okay, then the guru. Then and then finally, your own mind has to be very, very firm about all this. So fix your mind in that goal and then stay on the path. This is a very difficult path. It is not easy. Bhakti manme, he is known, he is full of devotion. Priyo Naraha, this person, Naraha, man, but man includes woman. So this person is very, very dear to me. Okay, this is about Samatha. So now he concludes this chapter, beautiful, beautiful chapter. It takes only 5 minutes to chant this chapter. And I told you already, 15 and 12 are the chapters that are chanted when a person passes for the first 13 days. Yetu dharmyamritamidam yathoktam paryupasate shraddhanamat paramaha bhaktaste tiva me priyaha. They indeed who follow this immortal dharma, law of life as described above, endued with faith regarding me as their supreme goal, they such devotees are exceedingly dear to me. So this dharma amrutam idam, that's the break of that word, yetu, but those, tu is but ye, those who follow this dharma which is immortal, and idam. Idam is referring to verse 13 to 19. That is what idam is referring to. So this dharma doesn't mean religion or whatever. Dharma is starting from Advaishta Sarva Bhutanam, from there 13 to this Tulya Ninda Stutir Moni. Okay, so 13 to 19, the one who follows this, and I've told you all the different virtues. Follow means we try to be like that. You know, suddenly we cannot change. Suddenly we cannot become Advaishta, and suddenly we cannot become what. Can try. So this is the dharma which is amrita, which is immortal. Okay, I've told you also before, these values, love, even in chapter 4 Bhagwan said whenever there is dharma, is there is fall of dharma. Dharma itself can never fall, because dharma is a set of values. Values don't fall. Values, love doesn't disappear. What disappears is man's faith in those values, in those virtues. Because especially now in Kali, people think, I've lived such a righteous life, and this person has done so much bad, and now he is prospering and I am not. So that faith should not this thing. But here, this dharma is amrita, means immortal. They are not going to Advaishta. Everything is just going to be as is. I may not be an Advaishta. A person may not be. But that value, Advaishta, remains. It is amrita. It is immortal. That's what it says. Idam. Yatha uktam. Like I said. Like it is said. Like I said. Yatha uktam. Pari upasate. So he's worshipping, means he's following. Here it is following. Upasana here is following. The one who is following these virtues that I have been telling from 13 to 19, they are parallel to the Stita Prajna Lakshana, and you will see their similarity to Gunatita Purusha Lakshana when we do chapter 14. There's the same, exactly same. So Paryupasate Shraddha Dhana, with faith. That's why I told you Sthiramati. I have to have faith in the means. Now what Bhagwan has told us here is the means. Because he says these people are dear to me. So if my goal is, if I want to be dear to the Lord, then I must follow these means, and I should have faith. If I don't have faith in that, why will I follow? How will I follow? Nah? If I don't have faith in something that, why will I do it? So that's why he says Shraddha is very, very, very important. In Tattva Bodh itself, Shraddha has been given, right? Faith, Shat Sampatti, and faith. And what is said, apparently faith is so important that on the basis of just strong faith, you don't need anything else. If you just have that faith, you will go. People lack the faith. They actually do other practices, but suddenly something comes in the mind, I'm doing all this, really, is it worth it? Like that doubt comes in the mind. That should not come. If there is faith, progress is very quick, very, very quick. And it requires grace. Mat paramaha. Considering me as the supreme, param supreme, indicating there is nothing beyond that, and indicating it is a point of no return. Parama means there is no return, coming back to this mortal world of sansar, to this world of dukkha. Bhakta ativa me priyaha. Ativa word he uses now. This is very, very dear to me. Such a bhakta is very, very dear to me. Now, what I want to do is I'm reading this Srimad Bhagavat Puran. Okay, this is Srimad Bhagavat, if you can see that. And as I was reading, just in the last, okay, I'm here, just dropped my bookmark. Just in the last 2-3 days, the portion is going on, which is Uddhav Gita. There is a Uddhav Gita. There are many, many Gitas, I told you. It's Bhagavad Gita is not the only one. So Uddhav Gita is a part of the Bhagavad Puran, and Uddhav is a friend of Bhagavan Shri Krishna. Uddhav, it seems, used to wear all his old clothes. Bhagwan used to, you know how we give to Value Village clothes? So all his old clothes, Bhagwan used to give Uddhav. And Uddhav only wore Bhagwan's old clothes. And then when it was time for Bhagwan to leave this world, Uddhav said, Bhagwan, now you give me the highest knowledge. Now you're going, you'll be going soon. I don't know this, so give me the highest knowledge. So there's a whole portion on Uddhav Gita. And in that, somehow this, because we did the portion on Tulya, Ninda, Stuti, etc. So there are certain things that I have underlined and I would like to read. Okay, so this is from Bhagavat Puran. The man who takes to praising men's actions and character or to criticizing them. Tulya ninda stutir moni, huh? Criticize them. Quickly swerves away from his goal of unitary consciousness. So what is Bhagavan saying? That one who takes to praising and criticizing. So that's why if somebody is praising us and criticizing us, and if we get swerved by, we will get swerved by that. We will move away from our path. This is what Bhagwan is saying. Because of his mind getting excited over impure and changing values. So because, see, praise is there, criticism is there. People will praise. Next day they will criticize. Same people will criticize who are praising us. Right? That's why Bhagwan is saying here, the man who takes to praising men's actions and character or to criticizing them. That means we should also not do too much praise and then too much criticism. We should also stay away from that. Quickly swerves away from his goal of unitary consciousness because of his mind getting excited over impure and changing values. That's one thing. Then, one, this is Jnana. So here he says, for all that is spoken by words, okay, speech, experienced by the senses and thought by the mind belong to the realm of falsity. It's false. Body, mind, intellect is absolute. Whatever the body is doing, speaking, thinking, comes under falsity. Okay. One who has intellectually understood and spiritually realized the truth. Okay, so this is this Jnani Bhakta he's talking about, that I reveal to you will neither praise nor insult anyone. He will not praise, he will not insult. But go about in the world like the sun who is utterly unconcerned with all that is high or low. I told you, Maitra, friendly, like the sun, right? This is what he says. Understanding through observation, reasoning, scriptures, and one's own realization that everything having a beginning and an end is false, one should cultivate absolute detachment. Sangha vivarjitaha. Anything that is begun in time is going to end. That is the immortal truth of this world. Okay. As long as the Atman, this is a bit subtle, those who can follow, follow. As long as the Atman has connection with the Buddhi, the Indriyas and the body through superimposition, the actions that I think, right now I'm speaking, I think I am speaking, in actuality, it is this speech is being imposed on that Atman. Atman is not speaking. I am that pure consciousness which is not speaking. What is speaking is the matter equipment, the vocal cords, the mind, knowledge, and the body. So what is speaking is the body, and now this speech is getting superimposed on that Atman, and I say I am speaking. The real I is where the real I is Atman. The one who is speaking is the ego. That distinction we cannot make. And therefore, when for my speech, when somebody praises me, I'm like, I spoke. And no, that's one reason we should not accept the praise as a fact by the deluded. It is the jiva that is involved. Okay. in the state of ignorance, the body wrought out of the wrought, w-r-o-u-g-h-t, huh? Body wrought out of the gunas of prakriti and karma, which are themselves the product of ignorance, is totally superimposed on the Atman. And thereby it is experienced in inseparable identity with it. All the things that are being done by the body, mind, and intellect complex are a play of the three gunas, always. Action cannot happen without all the three gunas. That's why we can never say that I want to get rid of tamas totally. You can't. If you get rid of tamas totally, that means this whole body has to go away because the body is tamas. If the body goes away, how will you speak or how will you do anything? Okay. So tamas is the body which is required. Just take the example of speech. For speech, the vocal cords are required. The speaking itself is rajas. Okay. And what is being spoken of is sattva coming from the mind. So there is an interaction of these gunas. There is sattva coming from the mind, rajas coming from the speech, actual action, rajas. And for this, the body, the tamas is required. The vocal cords are required, which are tamasic. They are inert. Body is inert. Now these three gunas play with each other and a speech is created. Okay. Now the ego, which is there, is taking credit for all this. The Chidabhasa, the small I, like Gurudev would say, is taking credit. I thought of the speech, I spoke, and it's me speaking, not my vocal cords, but me speaking. And this is how that ego now gets stronger and stronger. What should be our thought process? Is that this speech is happening in my presence. I am witnessing my body speaking. That is the distinction between ego and pure consciousness. Very subtle level this is. That's why I'm saying those who can follow, follow. If not, leave it from the Ashwin Sanders. And I think there's one more. This is relating to this Tulya Nindastuti. Know him to be a man of true illumination. That means a realized person. Huh? Who, with the help of the insight born of knowledge, could have evenness of outlook and perceive and honor all beings as my manifestations. This is what the devotee is doing. What is the devotee doing? Looking at everybody and thinking it's my Ishta Devata. Okay, this is through jnana. Be they holy men or outcasts, persecutors or adorers of holy men, the sun or a spark of fire, a tranquil personage or a ferocious and cruel man. Means any one of these, the man of illumination looks at them with evenness, samatha. Chapter 5, right? If the realized person looks at a cow and an elephant and an outcast in one, that verse is there. Okay. In those who constantly seek to find my presence in all human beings. So the one who is looking at the essence of all the human beings, in all the human beings, there will no longer be any competitiveness with equals, jealousy towards superiors, contempt for inferiors, and too much self-consciousness with regard to oneself. Because if you're constantly looking at the substratum of that person, will you have any competition with him? Why do I have competition? Because I think that person is more rich, more educated, more beautiful, more whatever, tall, short, whatever, thinner, whatever, right? That means where is the attention? It is attention on the matter equipment. But if I shift my attention to the essence, what is the difference then? There's no difference. Okay. And he will not have too much self-consciousness towards him, because if he is himself established in that truth, there is not going to be that much importance to the body. That is what we are doing right now. It's too much importance to me. And me here is body, mind, intellect, equipment. And that is what needs to be given up. Overlooking the ridicule of friends and relatives, casting aside the sense of high and low, on mere physical considerations, okay, and throwing away all shyness and shame based on such ideas, one should fall down in prostration like a stick before all beings, you know, Sashtang Namaskar, like a stick. And you know what all beings is naming here? Dogs, outcasts, cattle, asses, etc. Seeing all of them as manifestations of the Supreme Being. So see the level of oneness that he's telling, right? This is what I just last 2-3 days, this thing came up. Anyway, I think I've taken quite a, oh, sorry, I'm going a little bit over. Any questions? Everybody's all clear? Do we have all the verses assigned? No questions?
I can ask you a question, Jayaji. The book that you, the Bhagavatam that you're reading, what publication is that?
Please? No, that is not a CCMT publication. It is
Because I read one with her.
Bhavanji's book is there, Bhagavat, if you want to read. Let me just bring it quickly, 1 minute. Sure. CCMT, Swami Tejomanji has done Bhagavat Sapta, and that book we have. Mm-hmm. This is Ramkrishna Math. This is Ramkrishna Math. They gave us this because that time our CCMT publication was not there. So they gave us this four. This is the fourth volume. This is the last one.
Okay, I know, yeah.
Yeah, so yes. That is the Bhagavat that I'm now finishing, and now I'll be starting with Guruji's. But Guruji's is there. But that is Satta. That's not, this is full. Four volumes are there. Full.
All together in one book, is it? It's in one book.
Four books.
Guruji's
is one book only. Guruji's is
okay. Thank you. Because I saw the Hare Krishna version, so I was just wondering.
This is Ramkrishna version.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Yeah,
thank you.
Any questions? Yes. Did you have any question, Padmaja?
No. I just wanted to update you on the verses that have not been chosen. So the verses 3, 4, 14, 18, 19, and 20 have not been taken.
3, 4. Why is 3, 4 not being taken?
20. Only 13 people have chosen. I do not know who others are.
3 and 4. Come on, guys. Who wants to this thing? Chitra, you want to volunteer? Chitra will volunteer. 3 and 4.
Yeah.
Okay. What is the next verse? People can take more than one verse, huh? What is the next one?
15.
15?
14. 14.
14? Santushta Satatam. Who took 13? Who took 13?
Ganesh.
Ganesh has to do 14. 13, 14 go together.
Okay.
Tell him.
Okay.
What other thing?
18, 19 and 20.
Oh, 18, 19 have to go together. 20 is the easiest. That is conclusion. So all three go together.
Okay.
Padmaja, how many verses have you taken? Rashmi has taken verses. Rashmi, are you there?
Rashmi has taken verse 2.
Verse 2 only. Na, to give her these last three. She's taken only one verse now. Verse 2.
Yeah.
Rashmi, you've taken only verse 2, right?
Yes.
So I'm giving you the last three. The last one is only a conclusion. So I'm giving you the last three.
I can take some.
That's a good idea. Huh? Good idea.
14 and 18. 18 and 19 I can try.
Oh, 18 and 19 you can do? Okay. Then Rashmi, you take 20.
Okay.
See, very easy. So I will just sit and quietly, and now you guys have to talk. Okay, no fear. It is opinion, whatever that you want to say. I would recommend, this is how I started when I was told to speak on the verses when my teacher was there, Brahmacharini Robinji. I would actually write it down and I would go open the book in class and read. So you're allowed to do that. You can write, and you know, and there's nothing right or wrong. It is your opinion. If there's like way off, I will say something, but if not, everything. So don't be afraid. I know this is your first time. Calgary is doing this for the first time. Even my Saturday and Sunday classes here, they do discussion all the time, and it goes very well with the Zoom classes. That's what I was not sure of. That's why. Okay, so we'll close. Thank you. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Avashishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi. Harihi Om Shri Gurubhyo Namaha. Harihi Om. Right, guys, I'll see you next Monday. Okay, and some of you I'll see you on Saturday. Okay, bye-bye.